The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to a Spark in the Dream special here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast. Lots to talk about. I want to bring in our guests because this is the Philadelphia School District's CTE, Career Technical Education Program, and it's our machinist program. We welcome Ron Sizer in. How are you, Ron?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm ecstatic also to bring in Butch Bennett, Philadelphia Building Trades. How are you, Butch?
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having us also.
It's a pleasure. And, of course, Sonny Banks. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Joe. It's nice to be back on another Sparking the Dream broadcast.
Absolutely. And so really a great opportunity here today to really bring a couple worlds together where there's a lot of synergy. Ron, if you would, tell us the students that and what their career path is in your program. Who are we meeting today in regards to the type of classes they're taking?
Excellent. So with I have three seniors and one junior with me. It takes 3 years in my course. So Miss Momina Abdul-Jabbar sitting here is in her second year of my course. Mr. Talim Langston, Nafis Cook, and Brandon Bethia are in their third year of my course. They already have their NIM certificate, so at the end of my course, we want to make sure our kids leave high school certified in their trade so they can jump right into the field.
So, Ron, what does that certification mean?
So that's the National Institute of Metalworking Services certification, which gives the employers the knowledge of the skill set they possess. So CNC mill operator, CNC mill programmer, setup, lathe programmers, blueprint reading, material and safety, OSHA 10. I mean, so the certificates they have are piling up, and they should be leaving my school with about 6 to 7 each.
And what's fantastic about it, and I want to, by the way, Ron's not, in fact, I think Ron was our first teacher on with the, I didn't sleep a wink that night. I didn't. I what's interesting about it, and I want to bring Butch Bennett into the show, but I want to also kind of give Butch a little background. Our Spark in a Dream program, program that we've launched last year gives the general public and our listeners the opportunity to hear the great stories about our Philadelphia school district, a lot of the success stories. There's so much going on.
Yeah, and it's unfortunately, the media only highlights on the bad things at our Philadelphia schools.
Exactly, Sonny. We utilize the radio program. You know, we do the labor show. By the way, Butch has been on the labor show. I'm going to give everybody a little background on Butch because it's an honor for us to have Butch here, but I also want to give Butch background on the program. So it gives us the opportunity to create network and relationships between the students and the professionals, okay? We do that in business and legal and also in our construction trades. Now, Butch, before you, talk about your career path and what you do, I want to tell our students, Butch Bennett is the number two person in the entire Philadelphia building trades, the assistant business manager, which means we have how many tradesmen and women do we have in the program? I mean, in the trades. I mean, 50,000. I mean,
50 plus.
50,000. Okay.
50 and, plus. And what trades are in the program?
Under the building trades banner?
Yes.
So you have what I am, an operating engineer, laborers, electricians, iron workers, steam fitters, sprinkler fitters, plumbers, sheet metal.
Roofers, laborers.
Roofers, District Council 21. A lot fall under District Council 21. So you have drywall finishers, you have glazers, you have painters. So there are several different tapers. Yeah. They come under the cement masons, I'm sorry. I think under District Council 21, you have multiple trades that come under their banner. So
your reach is incredible.
Yes, sir.
Big
yes,
time.
It is.
Big
yes,
time.
And we and we're the number one union community in the country. And I want to kind of, this is really important. This is part of our diversity initiative and creating relationships. One of the things that we felt, Sonny Banks is, you know, he's been the major catalyst in developing the Spark of the Dream program. One of the things that people, you know, young people don't often have is those connections and the relationships. But if you look at this table right now, okay, and you look at Butch Bennett, there's 50,000 members of the Philadelphia Building Trades. I want to just explain something to you. This is incredibly important. First of all, Butch is going to talk about the benefits of an apprenticeship and the jobs and the careers, okay? Ryan Boyer, who is the head of the laborers union, is our business manager. Butch is the assistant business manager, which means if you had a crowd of 50,000 people outside the door, okay, if you went to the Phillies game, except you added 10 or 15, how about the Eagles game? You can go to, and you can only pick two people that were the heads of our union community in the city of Philadelphia, not including the AFL-CIO, you know, public unions. Butch Bennett would be number one, number two, and Ryan Boyle would be number one. And it's important because diversity and progress and all those things, Ryan Boyer and Butch Bennett, African-American individuals who are the top two people in the city of Philadelphia. Our building trades are diversifying. There's opportunities. We want everybody to have them. And we want to create Butch. And by the way, Butch is a great friend. He's also on our Legends of Labor Hall of Fame committee. Right. And so I can't say enough good things about him. Butch, if you would, okay, a little bit about your path to where you are today.
Well, again, I'd like to thank you, Joe, for inviting me. And Sonny, I want to congratulate you on what you're trying to do here. And Ron, it was a pleasure meeting you.
Yes,
and if there's anything that I can do to help move this thing forward, please, I gave you my number. Please don't hesitate.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you much.
Just talking to the young people, and you heard me talk earlier in the room when I joined Operating Engineers. It was different because I wanted to be a police officer first. The money was just too tempting for me to walk away from. So I joined the Operating Engineers. And I would say about 4 years into my career, I was asked to run for the civil rights position for the Civil Rights Committee. And I did. And I stayed on that committee until the day I retired. So I stayed on the Civil Rights Committee for 22 years. Not long after I became the civil rights representative, I became an organizer, and I was the first African-American organizer in my union. Shortly, and that was in 2001. 2005, I was moved to be the business agent for Philadelphia, or parts of Philadelphia, for my union. And then I did that for 12 years, and then I retired in 2017. And then Ryan Boyer, who was the president of the building trades at that time, asked me to come out of retirement to come over to the building trades to help move the building trades forward, especially with my background with diversity, how I could stand up for African-American in the workplace and try to bring more into the building trades. And I accepted it. And it's been a pleasure. And it is a pleasure. I love doing this. Talking to the young people. The young people are our future, man.
Yes, sir.
And I love just having the opportunity to talk to them and give them a different option, a different way. Like, I know the streets are tempting and everybody's not going to college. I get that, and I talk to my girls. My girls hit me to the young words and all that different stuff, telling me when somebody's chopped and whatnot. I didn't know what that meant. So I'm trying to get...
What does it mean?
I'll tell you off the air. But it just does my heart good to see these young faces. And even if they're interested a little bit, if I could just grab their attention a little bit, even if they choose a different path, they can tell somebody. mm-hmm. hey, there's a program out there, mm-hmm. and you can make some serious money if you apply yourself. And again, in our program, which is the Sam Satan pre-apprenticeship program, it prepares you to take the test for different trade unions. And it's just been my experience. The Sam Satan pre-apprenticeship program was the DAP program. But when Governor Corbett took over, they defunded it. It came back under Governor Wolf, but it came back as the Sam Satan pre-apprenticeship program. And as my time at the Operating Engineers, I was also a trustee. So it was part of my job to interview new applicants. I tell you, the best applicants that came in front of us and the best prepared applicants were always the ones that came from the DAP program. So this is why I'm pushing for anybody that wants to get into the building trades, go through the Sam Satan pre-apprenticeship program. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cost you a dime. The only thing that they require is that you either have a GED or high school diploma and a driver's license. Because if you come into the building trades, you have to drive. You have to. That's a necessary.
No way around.
And quite often when you're in high school, the building trades are overlooked. I mean, college is not for everybody.
It's not.
Yes, sir.
And you can make, you know, a great living a member of the building trades.
Yes.
Sonny, you make a great point. Again, I was telling the students what made me change my mind from being a police officer to being an operating engineer when I saw my brother's paycheck for the week. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that's the kind of money you make. So it was easy for me. And again, if you take pride in your work, you can have one day you can say, hey, telling your kids, hey, I helped build that building. Mm-hmm. Hey, we built that. You know, when I talk to developers and I can see wherever we are, like last week we were talking to the juveniles from the Youth Study Center. We were talking to their coordinators. And where we were sitting, you could see the background of the city. And I said, hey, guys, look at that. As far as the eye can see, and you can see Liberty, you can see everything. Comcast. I said the Philadelphia Building Trades built all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you see, we built.
Yeah. I can tell you this right now.
Quite a legacy.
From this room, I worked on the Bell Atlantic Tower. So, I'm a union iron worker, so you know those words are so true. Yeah, literally, the skyline of the city of Philadelphia. So sitting right here is a really interesting point because the building we're sitting in. And of course, the buildings that you're looking at around you, Liberty One, Liberty Two, Comcast One, Comcast Two, all those towers were built with union labor. What we're going to do is, and Sonny, I want to thank you so much for obviously,
you know, my pleasure.
What Banks Law does for sparking the dream. Your participation in organizing, you know, and providing our where we do the broadcast, and of course the food that we have. We always break bread. It's a great it's a great thing. So what we're going to do, and Ron, you know, before we go to break, talk about your thoughts on some of the things Butch was talking about.
Oh, he's telling everything is the truth, you know, giving these kids another option. I was telling him earlier, we take the trip to the Laborers Union every year. We were there earlier this year. So the Staten program, they're even on our property facility maintenance, Mr. Crosley, Colin Crosley.
Oh, Colin.
They're on that OAC. So they come in and they look at our curriculum and what we have in the classroom, and they keep us up to date with what's happening out here in the city so we're teaching the students correctly.
Absolutely. And give you an idea of who Sam Staten Sr. was. We have a Legends of Labor Hall of Fame, which Butch just became one of our board members. And Sam Staten Sr. was our first honoree. And I'm talking in millions of people, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of thousands. Sam Staten Sr. was the head of the Laborers Union in Philadelphia. But when you ran for governor or you ran for mayor or senator or whatever, you had to go. That was your first stop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you knew, but before you got there, you knew if you were invited or not. Okay. You didn't go there by accident. The fact is that He literally was so influential in bringing politics. There's so much kind of to talk about when you talk about the Philadelphia Building Trades and being in a union. I mean, we're talking about, and we're going to get into the apprenticeship. Literally speaking, you know, the education, college credits with the education, all the apprentice programs, no cost to the student. Okay, it's completely paid for by the union. One of the things that's so important about this show, and this show's a long time coming, and it kind of just came together literally last night. And Butch was so gracious to be able to spend time with us, but. Fact of the matter is that we're talking about jobs in the hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for yes. these. You're talking about careers. Being in the union, just so you understand, is the difference between a job and a career.
Exactly.
You have a career, mm-hmm. okay? Everything that you ever thought that you would want, okay, literally is at your fingertips. One of my goals is to make sure that you have the relationships and the connections and putting the people together and meeting the top people so that if it's your dream, it's a possibility. Okay. It can, and it will happen. Mm-hmm. So let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to start bringing the students in.
All right.
I want to thank everybody, obviously, for tuning in to our Spark of the Dream special here on WWDB Talk 860. Obviously, thanks Sonny Banks at Banks Law for making it happen. We'll have more from our special in just a minute.
Battles aren't won solely on the field. That's a common misconception. Battles are won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. In that place where promises are kept. Promises to oneself.
This is a physical training event.
Promises to one's community.
Helping people move debris out of their house.
Promises to one's country. In the heart of every Marine, you'll find a promise. A promise forever kept. A promise of battles won.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. These are the beautiful voices of police officers, firefighters, nurses, and teenagers who remind us that we can come together and create harmony and unity. To 24365 to learn how you can help your first responder community today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Banks Law and our Spark of the Dream special. I want to thank Butch Bennett, Assistant Business Manager, Philadelphia Building Trades, for being on the broadcast. And, of course, Ron Sizer, teacher, Ben Franklin High School.
Yes.
CTE program. And, of course, want to welcome in our first student, Mumina Abdul-Jabbar. How are you, Mumina?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Now, it's no time to be shy. Okay. this is a party here. First of all, if you would tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself. Where you go to school, what your hobbies are, and what you do for fun?
My name is Mukmina. I go to Benjamin Franklin High School. I'm a junior. I like to do cheer, flag football, trying out ice hockey and basketball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thought about track. What was another thing you asked me about?
Well, your hobbies and stuff.
I like doing, so I have a class, and it's called precision machining. I like that a lot, and I thought about, taking it for it, so, yeah.
So you're a junior, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a part of the CTE program?
Yes.
What brought you into the program?
So I believe my ninth grade year, it was like like third or fourth quarter, and we had to pick our CTEs. And I think it was between culinary and this class, and I already knew Mr. Sizer, so I was like, what's precision machining? And it was between welding. And I ended up picking Sizer, and when I got there, I was like, oh.
You know what's interesting? And I'll go to Butch. Women in the trades. What I love about what you just said, Mamina, is the fact that as a woman, you see that as something that you want to do. You understand that there's possibilities. Butch, talk about, diversity is a big focus, but included in that is women in the trades.
Yes, Joe, you nailed it. And I want to applaud this young lady on what you're trying to do and what your vision could be. Women in the trades is on an explosion. I'm proud to announce that the electricians just selected a young African-American woman to be a business agent, which is amazing. Groundbreaking.
Big time.
Oh, yeah.
The carpenters. And I know this young lady. She's a business agent. Her name is Layla. The reason why I remember the name Layla, because my daughter's name is Layla. and again, that's groundbreaking, because it used to be a time when no women, regardless of color, was in that club as a business agent. But you're in the times now where times are changing. The city is different, and people's thought pattern is different. And I think if you want to be politically correct and just correct, period, diversity is needed. For so many years, we've been excluded from the building trades and people that look like me and people that look like you. So I think now, given the chance, that we can be great assets. And that's what we try to do. So right now is a great time. In my own union, Tamara Davis, I remember when she came to me and said, Butchie, I want to be a tower crane operator. And I'm like, you can be anything you want. If that's something you want, you go after it. And to her credit, she did. And now Tamara is in an exclusive club where she's probably, if they have 10 African-American women tower crane operators in the country, I'd be surprised.
Mm.
I would be surprised.
It's rare.
I know she's the only one in our local.
Yeah.
And we have over 6,000 members.
Wow.
So I know that for a fact. She's the only one in Local 542 that's a female woman tower crane operator. So again, the sky's the limit. And like I said, I say this to the young people all the time. You can do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let anybody hinder your thoughts. And don't let anybody put a roadblock in front of you.
And what's interesting about that, Erin Hoffman, do you know Erin? She's with DC21.
Erin's sharp.
She's sharp. So I just did a show up, and I'm trying to find her full name. But she's in charge of the apprentice program, one of the apprentice coordinators at DC21. They do the it's Glaziers and Painters Union. Okay,
is that like the finishing trades?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Tarika.
Yeah,
that's the African American sister. Yes. No, Erin.
She's the head of the.
She's the head.
She's she's one of the heads of the apprentice programs.
Okay.
Up at District Council 21, which is the Painters and Glazers Union.
Okay.
We just did a show there. Talk about sharp. Okay, and. They're all about women in the trades. And so the fact that you've taken that option over culinary, over other different areas, by the way, the opportunities are limitless.
Yes.
But my whole thought process is just making the connections, okay? You're seeing that opportunity. Butch, talk about the amount of money that's, I mean, you talk about somebody who's working all the time in some of these unions, and, you know, how much money can somebody make in a year?
So I think, if I'm going to be full transparency right now, I think when I first joined the operating engineers, the lowest I made was $5,000, because it was just a bad time. But the most I've made when I was running the equipment was 161,000 for the year. Mm. So that was, and I haven't been in the machine in over 23 years.
That was
so
that
I've been in management for the last 23 years. So so you can imagine what that
pay is
money
at
now.
This day.
And so think about, and you're talking about annuity, retirement, health benefits across the board. I want, you know, and we're going to talk about, you know, the benefits of being, you know, of the apprenticeship and all those things. But, you know, it's certainly something I want you to see the possibilities. Like, in other words, it's game changing, man. It's like, yes. I'm not kidding you when I tell you this. You work 20, 25 years in the trades, you're making well over $1 million if you're working a full year. Like, I mean, literally speaking, if you look at your annuity, your retirement, your health benefits, let me tell you what I really miss. You know, I miss, you know, the my health benefits from when I was working out in the field. I mean, mother of God, dental, eye, everything. Now, of course, I mean, I have my own business, but we don't have the man. Obviously, I don't have the man hours, so my health insurance is not what it once was. Man, those are incredible opportunities. Is it something, Mamina, that you would consider? Obviously, you know, being a part of a trade union, you using those skills.
Yeah, I think I actually really want to, like I said earlier, I really want to take this far because not only am I a female, I'm Black and I'm Muslim. So it's like a lot of stuff that, what's the word? It's like a lot of hindrances within jobs and like a lot of discrimination and segregation within it. And I feel as though, like, because women do get paid more regardless. And even if I don't get paid more when I first go into there, I feel as though I would be able to show like a reason why I should get paid more. Because I'm going to do the work and I'm going to put, like, yeah.
I love it. That's okay. I love it.
Well, listen, Butch, talk. First of all, one of the great things about the trades, okay, is the diversity. Okay, is the opportunity. You know, you become an apprentice. Now, all apprentice programs, you know, in the different unions, there's a different facets to each one. But opportunity number one, okay, so collective bargaining and representation. Butch Bennett, Ryan Boyer. The union business managers at each union, if you have an issue on the job, no matter the skin, your skin color or your religion, you know, whether you're a male or a female, the business agent's coming out on the job. You have representation. Mm-hmm. So there's no, I mean, you know, sexual harassment and stuff. Okay. I'm not saying it's never happened, but if it happens or if you get discriminated against,
We're coming out. They're going to be there. We don't tolerate that.
Yeah, and that's representation, and that goes for everybody, no matter who you are. Somebody gets fired on a job for the wrong reason, that's going to be turned around quickly, and that's because we're represented. We're the best. We're the highest quality, you know, craftspeople in the country.
You know, Joe, you said something. Not to interrupt you.
Sure, please.
You said something. You were trying to educate these young people. That's here with us and your listening audience. When you hear Joe talk about annuity, I want you to understand what an annuity is. So every hour that you work under the building trades, a certain percentage of your pay goes into a fund, which is called the annuity, that you don't see, that you don't touch. Some people touch it for emergencies, like maybe you're buying a house, so you could take that money out to put down on down payment or whatever you might need it for. Some people use it to buy a car, whatever. Some people don't touch it until they retire. I've seen people have over $1 million that when they walk out the door, not only do they have their retirement, they got $1 million sitting there. That ain't got nothing to do with their bank account.
Yeah.
This is just something that's been stashed away that you're not focused on. How good does that feel? The day that you retire, you got that kind of money waiting for you.
That, and what Butch just said, that doesn't count your weekly pay.
Yeah, your regular direct deposits.
That's something
aside for you.
Yeah.
So it's
excellent.
So what's there is just amazing. I'd like to ask Mumina to talk about your friends and you know their thoughts on your career choices. Have they, you know, now that they see you and your family, what do they think about, you know, your career path?
My family, most of my family members, like all, most of them know. That's something I don't talk to, but like when I do tell them, they'd be like really proud because they're happy that I'm getting into a trade and I'm becoming like because it's not that many females out there. So they're happy that I'm doing something different and not just going to work at like Wendy's or McDonald's and getting low paid. Right. It was like, that's like $50K a year, and that's really not a lot when I really think about it versus what I could be making.
Well, you know what? You are a trailblazer. When I hear Mumina talk, I'm thinking of the leaders in our... We've done radio broadcasts on women in the trades and in our union community. I already can see you're going to be perfect. Perfect in that. And by the way, buying a house, any type of house that you're interested in, literally speaking, what our leadership... And by the way, talk about leadership, Butch. We have had the greatest leaders. We've talked about Sam Staten Sr., great leaders one of the things I like to always tell young people, especially young people who get into trades, that you're not born on third base. What does that mean? Well, tens, 20s, 30s, hundreds of years, it's taken great leaders to secure these benefits, okay, to create the greatest education so that our workers, so that when you see a crane on a city street, okay, and it's picking up the big beams and all that, the magnitude of the safety and the education and knowledge to know that those chokers holding that 20 to 30 ton beam going up over the street where there's thousands of people is been educated in apprentice schools, okay, taught by great craftsmen and women. Okay, so the opportunities that are there, I mean, these are the best in the country, but our leaders have secured those benefits and made it possible for us to earn the living that we deserve, okay? And our men and women are the best trained, and they're out there taking that education and building these high-rise buildings that we're sitting in so that we don't have to worry about the floor caving in because it's been built by men and women who are a qualified, certified union crafts men and women. Before you leave, we bring on one of the other students, where do you see yourself in 10 years, Mumina?
In 10 years, I see me with a college degree or a trade degree and working in either the Navy Yard or somewhere big like that. I think, what was it called? It started with a D.
DVAL? Let me give everybody overall what's going on with my program. We have partnered with the service, Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard. They need the machines. They're ramping out submarines and ships right now at the Philadelphia Navy Yard, and they're taking the machinists because we make the parts, right? So they're coming at her. DelVal makes parts for the Air Force. The recent movie Top Gun, they made all the parts for the planes in there, right? So they're looking at her. They want her to come in. They'll pay for a college to get the engineer degree to help engineer these parts so we can continue having the best military in the world.
Fantastic. Well, Mumina Abdul-Jabbar, we want to thank you for joining us on the program. Our future and your future look bright because of individuals like yourself. Butch, a credit to our school district. Yes. And her future looks good.
I really do. When you say the Navy Yard, we just met with the Navy Yard about a project called the Chapel Block. It's a multi-million-dollar project, but they have billions. I think willing to spend $3.6 billion in construction coming up. So when you say the Navy Yard, and I hear you saying about the machinist side, it just rings a bell because as the building trades representative, I know about the projects that you just disclosed and some that you might not know about, but there is a ton of work coming up to the Navy Yard. So
yes,
your future is bright. I think sometimes when we worry about our young people, I don't think we have to worry about you. But if there's anything that we can do at the building trades to help you, you have our number.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Amazing.
We'll have more from our Spark and a Dream special in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Cody DePablo. Cancer, we don't want to think about it, but I had to because, well, I was busy working, traveling, enjoying life, completely forgot to pay attention to my health. Too much time passed since my last PAP. By the time I was tested, things didn't look too good. We thought I might have cervical cancer. Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. I was lucky. After lots of worries, no cancer. I've always been very close to my mother. When we finally got good results, she broke down. And that's when I realized it's not just about me. It's about your loved ones, too. So women, get a Pap test to check for cervical cancer and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our Spark in the Dream special here on WWDB. Talk 860. I want to thank Butch Bennett, Philadelphia Building Trades, for being here. Teacher Ron Sizer from Ben Franklin High School. And our students for being here. I want to thank Mumina Abdul-Jabbar for being our first student guest on the program. I want to bring into the program Tareem Langston. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm better now because you guys are here. And first, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, what your hobbies are, what, you know, why did you become a part of the CTE program?
Some of my hobbies, I read a little bit when in free time, and I like to play the game. And how I got in the CTE program, honestly, it was luck. When they was picking out the CTEs and all that, I was like, well, I don't know what I want to do. So I just picked this one and welding, because I was like, I don't know which one. And I'm happy I got into this one because this one really pushes me forward. Like, I see, when I see people in welding, they do their thing, they do welding, but I don't think it's for me. This one, I really think it's for me. Like, I love the way the shop smell and a bunch of different things.
Well, it's interesting because I did a little welding myself, and well, as an iron worker right now, I wasn't a welder. And I joked around because
Harry Graham.
We had Harry Graham. I don't know if you know Harry Graham, Butch, but Harry Graham is an iron worker. He's one of the teachers and he's a welding teacher at school. And he was a good friend of mine. And it just was a coincidence that I didn't know what he was. I hadn't seen him in years, but we had a great show when he came on. Well, then they used to call him, my good friend who was 6'8", used to look over to the end of the booth and see me, and you could hear my rod sticking. I was having a hard time there. But either way, those are great. What do you learn? What type of skills do you learn as part of the machinist program?
So far, I learned how to run the lathe and the mill, and I can operate them. I can indicate devices, and I've started to learn programming. I'm pretty much, I know how to program the mill, and I'm starting to learn how to program the lathe for CNC.
And what when you talk about the job or the career that you're looking at, what are your career goals?
I want to be a mechanical engineer, but for starting now, I'm thinking I might, you know, go to the Navy Yard or DVAL, like Mimi said. And then, but while I do that, I want to go in college, get my degree, and then just move up in my field.
And when you talk about mentors and you know, people that have made a difference in your life, talk about who that might be.
One of my main mentors is Mr. Sizer. Mr. Sizer, he just pushes me to where I need to be. If I'm slacking off, he gets me right back on track. He puts me in positions that it might be hard, but he knows that I can get done, and it will push me forward for skills that I need. And some of the other CTE teachers, like Mr. Graham, that y'all was just talking about, when I go to his class, he has us do math, like some math that I haven't even learned before, and then he'll show us how to do it, and then we'll just practice it in his class.
How often do you see Mr. Graham?
I see Mr. Graham like every day.
When you see him, ask him if he learned everything he knows from Joe Doc.
Okay.
He'll probably say, I probably can't say what he'd say.
Yeah, he might not want to say.
He's a great friend, and yes. When did you get into the program?
I got into the program in my 10th grade year. The funny thing is, in my 9th grade year, Mr. Sizer was my homeroom teacher. So he was telling us about the program, and I was like, okay. And then when it was time to select, I was like, oh, Mr. Sizer. And then I had to just pick another one, so I picked welding.
Well, having said that, Ron, talk about, you know, obviously,
you know, what Talim said, you know, and obviously you being a mentor to him, but also how does it make you feel when you see that, you know, they take pride and they're excited about those skills?
Oh, I love it. I love it. See, machinists make the world. That's what people have to realize. We make everything, right? So knowing that we have young machinists coming up, I know the future of the country is bright. The building trades, everything, all the tools you use, the tool makers have to make, right? That's these guys. All the cars you drive, the cell phones you use, like everything is coming from the machinist. He's making it. He's shaping the plastic. He's doing everything.
That's a fun, that's an interesting point. Butch, one of the things, and when you talk about the world and you talk about technology and you know, you can order anything on Amazon and literally one time I ordered something at 2 a.m. It was there at 8 a.m. I got up. However, you can't do anything without the machines.
You can't do anything.
And you can't do anything without the trucks.
That's right.
You know, it might, you know, it's a glamorous process. You just push a button, put your credit card number in and you get it in the morning, but the truck dropped it off. That product was created with machines that created it.
Not only that, the truck was created by the machines. There's no engine without the machinists, right? There's no truck. There's no delivery. We make the world, brother.
Hold on for a second. But you do it in a building that the iron workers built with the I'm just kidding.
Actually,
I always joke around
because what I teach them is machinists make the parts, welders put it together.
Yeah. Well, and Butch, talk about, by the way, on a building, there could be 20, 30 trades, but we're all working for a common goal. And it's interesting because there's always a superintendent. It's incredibly organized, and putting that process together at the highest level. Ron, talk about the fact that you are, you know, helping to educate the next generation of workforce.
Oh, I take so much pride in it.
And have you ever just wanted to jump up in the air and say, listen, especially while we talk about the news and all those things, you never see the great stuff. You know, gentlemen like Talim and a lot of your students here are out there doing things that, you know, and that where they're going to have a career almost immediately when they get out of school.
Yeah. And the best part is, you know, we don't look for the recognition, right? They're looking to change their life, to change their family lives. That's what we really want. So, I mean, the trade world knows. You know, and that's what's important to us.
Talim, talk about your family and their thoughts. You're not only a smart young man, but also the fact that you have an idea of what you want to do. Talk about that conversation with a member of your family. How they feel about it?
So I actually have this talk like at least once a week with my family. We all sit down at the dining room table and we just be talking about what be going on. And, like, my mom, she really wanted me to go to college. And my stepdad, he's like, well, do what you want to do, but make sure whatever you want to do, you see it through. And I like that he say that because it really makes me, like, whatever I put my mind to, I'm going to see it through because that's what you're supposed to do.
And Butch, talk about that. You know, I always think that if you have an idea about what you want to do and you're on the path and you have the relation and anything's possible, that's half the battle, man.
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of young people, I'm still working on what I want to do. I'll get back to you on that one, right? I'm just saying, as somebody who...
No, he's not. He's successful. Trust me.
As somebody who... When did you know, you talked about your career path. When did you have an idea of the direction you wanted to go?
The thing about that is, ever since I can remember, I wanted to be a mechanical engineer. I just didn't know what it was. I remember watching TV as, like, a little kid, like 4 or 5, and I'm like, I want to design robots. I want to invent things. I want to do stuff like that. And then as I got into higher grades in school, they was like, oh, yeah, you want to be an engineer. And then recently, like, I want to see my 10th or 9th grade year, they was like, oh, you want to do mechanical engineering. And that it just shows me that this is really what I want to do because I wanted to do it before I even knew what it was.
Well, we want to thank you for being on the broadcast. Okay, wish you great success. Success is in imminent. Keep doing what you're doing. Talim Langston, we appreciate you being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. We're going to have more from our Spark in a Dream special in just a minute.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work. sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
Welcome back to our Spark Interview special here on WWDB Talk 860. We've got a fantastic broadcast. We're going to bring in our two final students on the panel. Nafees Cook, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
It's great to have you on the broadcast. I love your jersey, but we'll talk about that later. your shirt, the Eagle shirt. And then, of course, Brandon Bethea, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
So it's our pleasure. We'll start off with Nafees, your career goals.
My career goals right now is doing precision machining. I like to do hands-on work, so I like to get my hands dirty, you know, work on different things. I'm in 12th grade right now. I'm playing football.
Okay.
For my school.
And what position?
I'm playing running back.
No kidding. That's me and you, dude. Yeah. A couple years back for me.
Yeah. So how it actually started off was when I first came to my school, Ben Franklin, my ninth grade year. So I was going to sign up for culinary. And Sizer was my homeroom teacher. So I kept that in mind that Sizer, he could be another person I want to go to do machinery. Because how he was playing it, I like my hands dirty.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, let me pick culinary for now. I didn't pick it. I went to Sizer. I said, Sizer, can I get in your class? Because I want to see what I can do. Because how he was explaining stuff, how he can make different parts and different objects. And like he said, machinist makes the world. So
how do you like the class, what you're learning?
I like it very much. So I work on a lathe. That's what I'm best at.
Uh-huh.
But I work on a mill more than the lathe. So learning to operate the machine and to keep the devices and the G-coding and M-coding and all that. And he helped us. He taught us how to drill press, how to angle different parts and objects.
And those things, that's real life experience. Brandon, talk about your experience. What got you into the CTE program, and what do you like about it?
So we had a open house for my high school, because I was entering high school. And one of the first CTEs I visited was Mr. Sizer's. And I don't know, it clicked to me that it was a good program because all the machines, like how it ran, and then how he was talking about it, it made me seem like it was going to be a fun 3 years of my CTE career in school. And it was just a new opportunity for anybody. And not only me, for, you know, Nafees, Talim, even Mimi. It just opens your mind to new ideas. Like,
let's talk about the post school career. Okay, what are your goals? And are you thinking about going in that direction now that you have these these skills?
I'm not sure yet, but college is definitely one of the things for me to go to. I mean, I have acceptances so far. I have 7 of them. So,
oh, awesome.
7 acceptances. So I'm planning on probably going to college for an engineering degree.
Awesome.
And probably just taking that to the next level. My family is really on it for me. So they really tell me to take an engineering degree, go to the next step, you know, do what basically you guys are doing, and just hopefully everything goes well for me.
Have you thought about the type of engineer you want to be?
I'm depending upon electrical or software. I'm really into those two right now. I got options, but I'm still deciding.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
At least having a good career, like making well money, support my family, and just seeing me do better than like my family. I mean, make sure like they're fine, make sure I'm cool and everything like that.
Let's talk about the challenges that are out there that you know that throw young people off of off the track. I got, you know, you would talk about, Butch, you had talked about at the beginning, there's the street, there's temptations and stuff like that. Talk about the things that are out there for young people that can throw them off the track, and what's going to keep you on the track. And I'll go to, I'm going to go to Brandon first, but then I'll go to Nafis.
Okay.
Challenges, like, young people, like, they don't, like, I mean, like, you know, the shootings going on in Philly, just problems. Like, they don't have homegrown training. So it's like it's hard for them to like experience like different things to have their career path going like in the right track. So like, wait, what was the question again?
No, I'm talking about keeping yourself on track. What prevents you from going in that
direction?
Oh,
just not like just stand around good people. Like Sizer, he's always telling me to go on the right track. Don't go around negative people. My parents tell me the same thing. Like just keep going. Not like just stay on your own track. Don't let nobody have a roadblock or have a negative aspect in your career or whatever.
And let me ask Nafis that same question.
So for me is staying away from people that don't got good energy and, you know, with bad tensions and what they got going on with their life and stuff like that. Like me, I stay on track because I don't like to be near negative energy, negative people, and negative anything. So I follow the good energy. I say negative energy. Good energy. So me, I'm just focused on me and myself and my family. So I want to provide for my family for what they did for me when I was growing up. They come on pushing me to do this, like in a good way. And saying like, yeah, it's not easy. Since you want to do this, go on. Follow this path. Keep going. They support me with everything. They say if you need anything, they support this lifestyle you want to do. That got you. So after hearing that from my mom and dad, I come up pushing to do work harder on machinery and everything.
And success, what is your idea of success and where you see yourself in 10, maybe 20 years?
I see myself continue working. I don't damn retire no time soon.
Yeah, well, let me give you a little insight. 10 and 20 years. I wish I could go back to that age, but talk about your role models.
My biggest role models is my father. My dad, that man pushed me to do what I want in life and everything. My mom was always pushing me. She always made me believe in myself. And Mr. Ronald Sizer, he was the number one. He was the third person to say, "Nafis, I see you doing this." I was like, and like I had got a little emotional because like, my mom, my dad, and Mr. Ronald Sizer, they pushed me to the point that I should work very hard on this, because this is not just a kid's job. It's a man's job. It's a woman's job, and it's a dangerous job at the end of the day.
Safety, by the way,
safety is the number one thing in machinery classroom. Size it. Every time anybody come in that classroom, safety goggles on, and any student stay behind the yellow line. Don't come in that little yellow block line. But we take safety very seriously.
Well, I'm gonna say this: we only have a minute left, what everybody in this room is so impressive. I want to obviously thank Taleem Langston, Nafis Cook, Momina Abdul-Jabbar, Brandon Bethia. Want to thank you all for being on the program. Of course, Mr. Ron Sizer, Sonny Banks. And I'm going to ask Butch Bennett if he'll take the last minute to talk about your impressions of the young people that we met here today and their potential for the future.
I think their potential is earthquaking. I'm listening to Brandon and I'm listening to Nafis, and the best thing I can say to a comment that you made, Brandon, was that you try to be around good energy and good positive people. I tell my children all the time, if you hang around 5 millionaires, you might be the 6th millionaire. If you hang around 5 bums, you'll be the 6th bum. Keep that in mind. If there's anything that I can leave you with today, and even the listeners, keep that in mind.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to our Spark in a Dream special here on WWDB Talk 860. Thank all the students on the panel. Obviously, thank Mr. Ron Sizer, Sonny Banks, and of course, Butch Bennett. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.